Well, good morning, everyone. What a great response. Good morning, everyone. That's good. I had trouble hearing the first time. It's great to be back with you. Last week, we began a series of over 2 weeks, that looked at the names of God. And we looked last week at the Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord, our shepherd. Today, we're looking at another name. But before we do, why don't we pray first of all? Father, thank you that you have fulfilled that last song we prayed for, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this atmosphere. We pray that you'd fill our hearts now with a hunger for your word, that you'd open our eyes to see something more clearly of you that would cause us to love you with, and follow you with greater passion. And we ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen, amen. One of my favourite pastimes is going to the movies. And I don't know whether you ever noticed, there are things that you learn from movies that you would never learn anywhere else in the world. For example, did you know that the ventilation system of any building is the perfect hiding place? No one will ever think of looking for you in there, and you can travel to every other part of the building without difficulty. Should you wish to pass yourself off as a German officer, it would not be necessary to speak the language. A German accent will do. A man will show no pain while taking the most ferocious beating, but will wince when a woman tries to clean his wounds. All bombs are fitted with electronic timing devices with large red readouts, so you know exactly when they're going to go off. One man shooting at 20 has a better chance of killing them than 20 men firing at one. When being fired at by Germans, hide in a river or even a bath. German bullets are unable to penetrate the water. Action heroes never face charges for manslaughter or criminal damage despite laying waste entire cities by their actions. Honest and hard-working policemen are traditionally gunned down 3 days before retirement. And the more a man and woman seem to hate each other, the more likely they're going to fall in love. Things that you would never, ever learn anywhere else. Thank God for movies. One of my favourite movies is the series of Indiana Jones, about a globe-trotting archaeologist setting out in search for the world's greatest treasures, and particularly the Holy Grail, which is the chalice from Jesus' Last Supper. And the main role is played by Harrison Ford, who I'm told is I'm a lookalike to. You saw that, didn't you? You saw that. Sometimes I'm mistaken for George Clooney at the same time, but still, just got to guess it's one of those burdens I've got to carry in life. You may remember The Last Crusade, and there was a classic scene there where Indiana Jones comes to the sacred altar where the Holy Grail is kept. And the earthquake shakes at the mountain, and rocks fall, and the temple walls move, and everything begins to tumble. And the floor of the temple parts, and a great crevice right in front of the altar appears. And Indiana watches in horror as the Holy Grail, the object of his lifelong quest, begins to quiver and then tilt. It falls over, rolls across the altar, tumbles down the gaping hole in the earth. And Indiana leaps for it. And he grabs it just before it disappears into the darkness. And just when he thinks he's saved it, the earth shakes again. He loses his footing and slides into the crevice himself. In desperation, he grabs for anything to hold on to. And his fingers find a rock outcropping a few inches below the edge of the crevice. And the chalice falls from his hands. And he's clinging by his fingertips and certain death below him. Rocks are falling everywhere. The earth continues to quake, and he can barely hold on. And just then, out of nowhere, his father peers over the edge, father played by Sean Connery. He says, take my hand, Indiana. Indiana is about to reach out for his father and safety when he spots the Holy Grail resting on a narrow edge just inches away. If he stretches, he can possibly reach it, but does he risk it? How can he forget the Grail that he searched for all his life? His whole life has been about finding it. He can choose rescue, or he can risk his life in the hope that he can reach the chalice and still grab the father's outstretched hand. He knows what's at stake, but he can't take his eyes off the Grail. And finally, the pleading of his voice from his father breaks the spell. Let it go, Indiana. Let it go. And he looks up at his father's hand and away from the treasure. and he lunges for the hand. His dad grabs him and pulls him to safety, and they run for their lives as the temple collapses in ruins behind them. Let it go, Indiana, let it go. Some choices are hard to make, but some choices have to be made. And if ever there was a hard choice to be made, it was the one that Abraham faced in Genesis 22. Let it go. Lay it down, Abraham. Lay it down. The choice, like Indiana, was holding on to something of great value to Abraham, or letting it go. Selwyn Hughes in Every Day with Jesus tells about the story, where it comes from. He says, the occasion for Abraham is one of the most moving in the whole of the Word of God. It was the last great crisis in Abraham's life. He said, one day God appears to Abraham with the astonishing command to offer up, to lay down, to let go of his son Isaac as a human sacrifice. And Abraham, unaware that this is a test of faith, grimly sets out with Isaac for Mount Moriah, where he prepares to obey the command. At the last moment, however, just as the gleaming blade is about to be plunged into Isaac, God, seeing the proof of Abraham's faith and his love for God above everything else, intervenes and calls a halt to the proceedings. You see, God never wanted Isaac's life. He's opposed to human sacrifice. What he wanted was the place that Isaac had in Abraham's heart, number one position. The story ends with God providing a lamb, as Abraham had confidence in verse 8, a lamb that was a substitute in place of Isaac. And in that situation, a new vision of God is revealed to Abraham. Verse 14 says, Abraham called the name of the place where God intervened, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Last week, as we heard that the Lord is my shepherd. Today, we want to hear the Lord is our provider. And I want to share with you some many great things about God providing for us. First of all, let me say, providing and making provision for us is part of God's nature. It's who he is. It's God's nature to provide. In fact, if you look at the Bible from Genesis in the garden right through to Revelation with all that he's promised for us in heaven, it's all about God being our provider, an awesome provider at that. God loves to provide for us. He loves to provide for us. And I want to encourage you to encourage one another with stories and testimonies of how God's provided for you. Just after the 8 o'clock, I had a couple of people come up and share with me amazing stories of God's miraculous provision for them. And it was just really encouraging. I thought, I ought to ask more from God. If this is what he can do for this person, he can do it for me as well. And I want to encourage you in services or after service, I have a morning tea. Today, start today of a morning tea and share with one another your testimonies, your stories about what God's been doing in your life, to encourage one another to look to Jehovah Jireh for our needs and to give God the glory that he deserves. I want to encourage you to read biographies that will inspire your faith in God providing. One of the greatest biographies I love is a story of George Mueller, who provided all those orphanages in England. Never asked for a cent, even though the bills were amounting up to hundreds of thousands of pounds in those days. But God would miraculously provide for him from all sorts of areas, provide for the children food and drink and whatever they needed at the last moment. Inspiring stuff. Read biographies, read and be inspired by them. So it's God's nature to provide and to provide for you. Secondly, God sees ahead. Did you know that the word Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, means to see to something? But it also means to foresee of something, to see ahead. And we have a God who not only sees to what our needs are, but he foresees, he sees ahead of it, the need before it even arises. And he provides in advance. God didn't provide that lamb in the bush after he stopped Isaac from taking that sacrifice. It was already there. He saw the need before it actually arose, and it already provided in advance. Same with Jesus. He saw before the creation of the world that we would need somebody to put our relationship right with God, and before the world was created in advance, he provided Jesus for us. He sees in advance. And I want to say to you, encouraging word, God already knows what you'll need tomorrow, and he's already provided it in advance. Isn't that good? Doesn't that take the stress out of life? Some of you don't look convinced. Well, you'll get to get better as you go along. He provides even before there's a prayer for help. That doesn't mean we should stop praying or asking, but don't be surprised that he's already answering before you speak. Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." God provides ahead for what you need. He knows what the crisis will be. David Elvery tells a story that he says, normally all the good choir people came to church on Wednesday night to practice, and they tended to be early, well before 7:30 starting time, which is early for us Baptists. But one night on March the 1st, 1950, one by one, two by two, they all had excuses for being late. Marilyn, the church pianist, overslept on her after-dinner nap, so she and her mother were late. One girl, a high school student, was having trouble with the homework. That delayed her, so she was late. One couple couldn't get their car started. They and those they were to pick up ended up being late as well. All 18 choir members, including the pastor and his wife, were late, and all had good excuses. At 7:30, the time the choir rehearsal was to begin, not one person was in sight. This had never, ever happened before. Now for the rest of the story. That night, the only night in the history of the church that the choir wasn't starting to practice at 7:30, was the night that there was a gas leak in the basement of the Westside Baptist Church. And at precisely 7:30 p.m., the time when the choir would have been singing, the gas leak was ignited by the church furnace and the whole building blew up. He goes on to say, was this just a fluke that no one was injured or killed? Was it just a coincidence that made everyone late for the choir that night? That's what some people would say. But we know better. He said, we know that God was watching over the members of Westside Baptist Church as Jehovah Jireh. And as Jehovah Jireh, he saw the need before it was there and provided for it. That's the God you and I have. He sees your need ahead of time and he's already provided for it. Next one, in Jehovah Jireh, every need is met. Joyce Meyer, who I'm sure some of you see on TV or read books, says, it's so wonderful to know that God is our source for everything we need. There's no need so small that he doesn't know about it, and nothing so big that he can't provide for us. He is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. And I want to add to Joyce Meyer, and just say, because I think she left something out, the Bible says, and millions of other people testify, that Jehovah Jireh provides for the small and big things in our life, but he provides everything we need. He provides unconditional love. He loves us just as we are. Loves us too much to leave us just as we are, but he loves us, warts, weaknesses, failings, flaws, just as we are. He provides shelter and refuge and a hiding place, Psalm 91. He provides comfort, 2 Corinthians 1. He provides healing, Psalm 103. He provides protection, Psalm 91. He provides wisdom, James 1. He provides abundant forgiveness, 1 John 1. He provides supernatural power and strength and grace to match whatever situation, whatever giant we're up against, 2 Corinthians 12. He provides rest and peace, Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He provides direction for our lives, Proverbs 3. He provides miracles at times. Nothing is impossible for him. He provides freedom from anxiety and fear and things that oppress and imprison us, Luke 4. He provides his presence 24/7 with us. He provides whatever we need to grow in our relationship with Jesus and follow him and do the kingdom work. But most of all, he provides salvation. He provides the way for us to be right in our relationship with God. Acts 16:31, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is his greatest provision. And did you know that provision on the of that lamb as a substitute on Mount Moriah was a signpost to 2,000 years ago on that same mountain where Jerusalem is situated of the sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of the world? That sends a chill down your spine, doesn't it? It was pointing towards that. Jehovah Jireh is our awesome provider. He not only provides for us, but he is the provision itself. In him personally and at his hands, we will find everything we ever need. And I love that old scripture and song chorus, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Remember how it goes? I won't sing it to you. It goes, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Awesome stuff. Every need met. Jehovah Jireh provides perfectly. I don't know about you, but sometimes we think we're experts in knowing what we really need, how our needs should be met, and the timing. And we're instant gratification people. But Jehovah Jireh has perfect knowledge. He sees the big picture. He has perfect wisdom. He has a passionate heart of love for us, for our good and our welfare and our blessing. And he provides what he knows to be perfect and the right thing at the right place and at the right time. He will supply all you ever need just in time, even though it may be the last hour, as he frequently does so. But he will provide perfectly for you. And that's something that we'll only often realise as we look back in retrospect and say, you know, God just provided what I needed at the right time. I thought I knew better, but he did. He provides perfectly. Provision and process. While providing for our needs, sometimes God takes us through a process to actually meet that need. And it's through the process that we change and grow on the way to receiving our need. And the process that he takes us through often happens in us and has a greater cause of praise and thanks to God than actually the end provision. There's a story about a guy called Harry Ironside. In Philippians 4:19 it says, is a promise that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. The article says, but that doesn't mean our prayers will always be answered the way we would like. Often we don't really know what we need. In the early days of his ministry, Harry Ironside went to preach for 2 weeks in California. As was often the custom, he didn't ask for any financial guarantees, but simply went on faith that God would supply his need. For some reason, things didn't work out. And in the middle of the meetings, he ran out of money. Hungry and broke, he was forced to leave his hotel room and put his bag in a drugstore until he found a place to stay. And by his own testimony, he thought about the words of Philippians 4:19 and got angry with God. You promised to supply my needs. Why don't you do so? And that night, as he rested under a tree in front of the courthouse, the Lord spoke to him about areas in his life that had become sloppy. He acknowledged them and confessed them and asked God for strength to make a new start. And the very next day, things began to turn around. People came to the meetings, friends invited him for meals, and he never lacked again a place to stay. And when the meetings were finished, he went to the post office and was surprised to find a letter from his father. And in the PS down the bottom of the letter, his father said that he'd been meditating on Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs. And the father added these words, the Lord has promised to give whatever I need. And Harry Ironside came to realise, if ever I need a starving, I'm sure that he'll give me that too. The Lord spoke to Harry Ironside and said, that was for you. In that moment, he realised that his greatest need had been to go without food and a place to stay so that he would learn to turn his heart back to the Lord. The author goes on to say that this is the true meaning of Philippians 4:19. It's not a blank check that guarantees an easy road or an answer to all our prayers, but it does guarantee that God will supply whatever we need when we need it. Sometimes that means miracles, and sometimes that means a visit to the desert. But whatever it is we truly need to make us what God intended us to be, he will supply that for us every time and all the time. How good is that? How good is that? Well, let me just say that a couple of quick other points. Jehovah Jireh is incredibly creative in how he provides for us. You know, he often provides very differently to what we expect, doesn't he? Sometimes he'll provide in very straightforward, simple ways. Other times he'll use supernatural ways to provide for us. Sometimes he uses strange and unexpected ways of providing for us, often turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. I think of Elijah or Elisha, whoever it was, who was in the desert in the drought. And remember how God brought to him food in the mouth of a raven bird. Yeah, I don't know whether I'd be that keen about that, but if there was no McDonald's around, why not go for it? But God provides in strange and unexpected ways. Sometimes he provides at the hands of people we would least expect to provide for us. And some people who are not even connected to God. It's exciting, although it can be uncomfortable. And I want to say to you, be careful not to limit how God works in your life because you've got blinkers on and expect him to work in a certain way. He likes to break the barriers. He loves to operate outside the box and be open to him provided in whatever way he wants to do so. Well, let me just come to a next slide and say, there's a question that people often ask, and it's something many of us wrestle with. What happens when God doesn't appear to provide? That's one of the biggest questions and one of the biggest faith dilemmas for many people. And I need to be very careful in how I answer this because even if I could come up with a perfect answer, I don't want to trivialise what some of you have been through, that you've cried out to God for a need and apparently it doesn't seem to have been met. Let me just simply say that it's been said that when God responds to prayer, it's either yes, no, or wait. But know that behind whatever answer he gives, he has perfect knowledge of the big scene. And he loves you passionately and only wants the best for you and his glory. He sees the bigger picture. And not everything we think we need is really what we need. Nor is it good for us in the long run. As I said before, he may have already answered our prayer, but because we've got blinkers on about how God works, we miss out on the answer because it doesn't fit into our careful little box, but God has already provided the answer. Sometimes he may see a greater good by not answering the way that we hoped. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said to the Father, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup away." But God said, "No, I'm not going to answer that prayer. I see the greater good. Because of the cross, I will reconcile the world to myself." Sometimes God sees a bigger picture, a greater good. Sometimes he may not appear to have answered because he's waiting for us to take some sort of action or follow some sort of instructions he's given to us in the first place that we haven't acted upon. Let me say that if it appears at times that God doesn't understand what it's like not to have our prayers answered or feel like we haven't got an answer, he understands. Jesus experienced that in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples, as you know, except for Judas, the other 11, 10 of the 11, were actually put to death for following Jesus. I'm sure they prayed that their lives would be spared, but they did, they weren't. If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, inspiring examples of people of faith, but a lot of people who were fed to the lions, crucified, burnt, whatever it may be. So yes, God understands, and yes, his people understand. When it comes to what appears to be God not answering, and I say appears because I'm not sure about that, I encourage you to ask the Lord and say, "Lord, I've prayed about this, but it doesn't seem to have been answered. What are you doing? Why isn't it answered? Is there something in me that I need to work on or change? What are you trying to teach me?" Ask the Lord. The Psalms are full of God's people crying out, saying, "God, where were you? What are you doing? Come on." And I'm going to encourage you, what appears to be a lack of response from God, we prayed for healing for somebody and they passed away. What appears to be a lack of response, it may remain a mystery until we get to heaven, and then it will all make sense. Let me just say that when it comes to that whole issue of when God doesn't appear to provide, people normally fall into three categories. For some, feeling that God hasn't answered our need or provided in the way we wanted to. So some, they walk away from God completely. They throw in the towel and don't want anything to do with God ever again. And you probably come across people like that. For some of us, we stay connected to God, but we never ask consistently for our needs again because we don't want this feeling of being let down. While for others, in spite of confusion and disappointment, they continue to trust God no matter what. and rejoice in him. Remember Paul and Silas locked in stocks in the jail? They didn't whinge and complain and bemoan about everything and curse and so on. They were singing at midnight praises to God. God, this is not the exercise bike I wanted, but look, I really praise you that you're here. I delight in you. I find my joy in you. You remember Habakkuk? I love Habakkuk. I got up early this morning to learn how to pronounce that word, actually, Habakkuk. Let me say it five times, Habakkuk, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, he's had a bad day. But get this, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour, regardless of what happens, regardless of whether God meets my needs in the way that I want them to be met, I will continue to rejoice in him. Great stuff. Well, let me close and look at the last question very quickly. What are the keys to unlocking God's provision? First of all, pursue a deepening relationship with God. Through Jesus, God has provided everything we need, and I encourage you to keep accessing that through Jesus. Not that we go after Jesus for what we get, because that would be a user of God, and we want to be a lover of God's, but we go through Jesus, and in doing so, we provide it for. Number two, keep our number one. Our relationship with God and working to grow his kingdom needs to be number one priority all the time. And that means being ready like Abraham and like Indiana Jones to lay down our Isaac, our holy grails. That means being prepared to lay down anything that rivals number one position in my heart that's reserved for Jesus Christ. Ken Hemphill says, too many of us are missing the joy of seeing God's blessings released in our lives because we are tenaciously clinging onto our Isaacs, the things which we seem are most precious. And I believe God's calling out to some of us this morning, lay it down. Lay it down, Indiana. Lay it down, Abraham. And you can put your own name there as well. And when we seek God and learn to let go of those Isaacs in our life, Matthew chapter 6 says he'll provide for all our needs. Number three, as Abraham found blessing, our needs met comes from walking in obedience to the Lord, from keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. God's love language is obedience. Number four, ask the Lord for your needs. This may sound obvious, but it's true. We don't ask. Sometimes we get turned to other people. Sometimes we're independent. We think we need to be self-sufficient. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says, blessed are the self-sufficient. Blessed are the independent. But we live that way. We put it up as a Christian virtue sometimes. But we need to ask. James 4 says you don't have because you don't ask. And you ask with the wrong motives. Luke 11 says, knock, seek, ask. And the tense is keep knocking, keep seeking, keep finding, keep asking for your needs. And finally, let me encourage you. Having asked, be a radical, sacrificial, generous giver. Philippians 4, verses 19, which says, God will supply all my needs, follows a situation where the Philippians have provided all the money and support for Paul. And Paul says, because you've provided as a generous giver to me and to the work of ministry, God will now supply you because you've been generous. You want God to be generous to you? Start being generous to him and to the work of the kingdom. Let me close and say, God longs to be Jehovah Jireh to you today. He wants to know, however, first, that you're willing to obey him, that you're willing to seek after him, number one, that you're prepared to lay down your Isaacs, not place anything above him as more important in your life, and that you're willing to be a generous giver. And as he sees us honour him like this and the way Abraham did, we will discover more and more the awesome power and provision of God released in our life. A God who Ephesians 3 says is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Jehovah Jireh is your provider.